What was that?
What?
What's that sound?
Where?
It's aliens and they're living in your town.
Damn.
They have arrived.
What?
They're all around.
So
where? Many aliens living in your town.
Are you scared of aliens? Well, you should be. Because aliens want to probe around in your booty.
Hello, weirdos. How's everybody doing out there in Weirdo Land?
Woo!
Yeah, doing well.
Everyone's keeping it weird and keeping it weird.
Always.
All right, so it's always a little clunky in the beginning because it's, you know, it's this Zoom. There's a delay. We talk over each other. I do want to open up the podcast or the Weird Whatever podcast with some sad news, Mr. Beckett. We have heard that your dog has passed away, and I want to be the first person to say I am sorry to hear about that.
Thank you very much. Yesterday was a really tough day. You know, you always want to strike the balance of not doing it obviously too early or doing it too late. And I think I, based on what my vet told me, did it at the right time. But it feels a little unnatural because dogs, for a lot of people, become like their kids. And you know how they say parents should never have to bury their kid. It's unnatural. So it's tough, but you know, she had a good go. 13, almost 14 years, and she had cancer at the end, but I don't think there was any suffering. So I'm trying to celebrate the good and not think too much of the loss.
So I saw what you did on social media, and I wanted to commend you because it's really my own personal belief when it comes to death. For example, when I die, I don't want you guys to be sad. Now, I know that there's an emotion that comes with that you can't control, but I'm a big fan of celebration of life. I really do. It's the one thing other than pooping and eating we all really have in common is that death thing. We're all going to die no matter who you are. So I really do like to come at it from a positive perspective, even though I know death is very unsettling for a lot of people, whether it's an animal or whether it's a human. When my mom passed away, for me to kind of get through it and not hover in that world of depression, I had to look at it like a celebration. So I thought that was a really awesome thing you did on social media. It's what I plan to do when Chewy passes on. I want to do a celebration of life on something like that. And I thought that was a great, great thing that you did.
Yeah, thank you. You know, as I get older, I've been trying to be a little bit more spiritual. And with the media posts, it's, you know, I think some people sometimes post things for attention or whatever, but genuinely, like I think I mentioned in the caption, like, I feel like if you put something in the atmosphere or the universe, who knows what happens to all of us after we die, but at least it's recorded. It was, at the very least, cathartic for me to get thoughts out. And you know, I have a lot of friends that my dog was a part of their life. So you can't text everyone at the same time to let everyone know, especially when you're going through it. So I found it cathartic. You know, hopefully she hears it at some point. And yeah, I agree with you. I'd much rather focus on the 99.9% of her life than, you know, the last 6 months, if that makes sense.
And I know that I rip on a lot of people who do what I call Facebook fishing, and the KVJ show does a whole Facebook fishing kind of a segment. And what you did was not Facebook fishing at all. You know, I do think that social media is a good thing when it comes to grieving and having a support system. Now, there is people who love tragedy and love sadness because they're gonna get a lot of likes and a lot of shares, a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And that is Facebook fishing. But I do agree and I do love that end of social media when people can share their grieving and get a lot of support. And I think that's a really cool thing.
The only thing I would ask the group and the audience is if they've thought of any good ways to memorialize their animals. Cause I haven't really found a great way. Like, I've done the paw print, the ashes, a little stone that has like a little like thing for my other dog. I've heard of commemorative tattoos where they mix the ashes in. But I, you know, it's surprising for as much as our animals mean to us, to a lot of people, there doesn't really seem to be a popular, really good way to commemorate. So I was just kind of curious feedback on that.
Well, I got your answer. You already said it. I'm already working on a Chewie tattoo. I'm getting him on my back. Anybody that I care about that passes away, they get a spot on my back. I still have to get my Aunt Anne tattoo. The reason why I have not got my Aunt Anne tattoo is because I'm waiting to do that with a group of people who I made a verbal commitment with that we're going to do it all together, and it just hasn't lined up. But I love the idea of a pet that you love. Ink that shit up. Do you have any ink, Beckett?
No ink.
You know ink. Vicky, do you have ink? You have ink?
I'm a blank.
No ink. Denny's, I know you have some ink.
Yeah, I got a couple.
And then Birdman.
No, I don't have any ink.
Wow. So only 20% of this podcast is hard?
40.
40.
It's a big question.
Oh, what did I say?
You forgot 20, Denny's meant, and your percentages.
And hard?
I meant 40. Not that kind of hard, Birdman.
Vicky,
100%.
40%. 40%. Yes.
Vicky, do you have any ideas as it relates just to general ideas or anything that you tell people spiritually after like a certain kind of loss like that?
Well, what I have found with pets in particular, they tend to hang around until the owner goes to the other side. So I would not be at all surprised if you still feel a presence. As far as a way to memorialize, if your dog had like a favorite blanket or something like that, you can have it turned into a pillow. And then that's something that you can always have around. You can put it, you know, wherever you choose. And down the road, you might even, you know, with another pet, the pet may like that pillow and may want to use that. So your pet lives on in your next pet as well.
That's beautiful. I love that. Hey, Beckett. Do you mind if I read a email? It's a 9-year-old girl lost her pet. I don't want to make you too emotional if it's gonna bother you.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, Vicky, I'd love to get your perspective and yours too, Beckett. It says, "Dear Weird and Whatever," and I did mention this on the KVJ show earlier. My 9-year-old daughter lost her 6-month-old puppy. It got hit by a car. I want to know if humans get to automatically go to the, I'm sorry, I read it just like this on the KVJ show. There was a spelling error. I want to know if animals get to automatically go to the afterlife, just like humans do. If an animal is young enough, does it get a pass like children do? When Vicky was talking about that last week, Maya from Lantana. That's a great question, Vicky. You know, you talked last week about how kids at a certain age, they automatically go to that next level, the afterlife, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the
same thing apply. Yeah, the other side. Does the same thing apply for animals?
Well, like I was just saying to Ryan, I have found that they tend to hang around until that owner is deceased, or sometimes you have animals that were very, very close. Like say you have two dogs and they were constantly together and one passes away. That other one will hang around and play with its mate until it's time for that mate to go to the other side. I haven't communicated with any animals on the other side. I see them more so physically, their spirits here.
Producer Denny's, you're a man of many, many thoughts.
All right.
What's your thoughts on animals, afterlife? Do you think they go to a place with us after we pass on, or do you think it's all hogwash? What are your thoughts?
Well, I would think you'd have to extend that courtesy to every living thing, right? Not just exclusive to, I mean, you'd have to extend that to cattle. You'd have to extend that to, you know, deer, right? Everything would have to pass over. It would have to have its own system. So
yeah,
I don't know if it's something exclusive to just dogs and cats.
It's something that we get a lot of emails on. That's why I kind of bring it up a lot, because some people don't catch the podcast. People want to know about animals. Do they go to the other side? There's this whole kind of thought process. If the animal's not cute, screw the animal. If
does
it's a
it
cockroach,
go to a heaven?
Yeah. Well, I mean, why does a rabbit get to go to heaven and a roach doesn't, Vicky?
But what about a hare in the wild compared to a rabbit that's somebody's pet?
Right.
Exactly.
I think everything does eventually transition to the other side. The distinction between a pet passing and staying around on Earth for longer is because there was an emotional attachment. Same thing applies to a human being. If you pass away and you don't have any living relatives or any friends or any close attachments, you are more than likely to go on the other side and stay on the other side. Whereas if you have close attachments and family members, you're going to come back in visitation. So I would use that same analogy with, if there's a cow in a field that nobody really paid attention to, more than likely that cow is just going to go to the next phase instead of hanging around in the field as opposed to a family pet.
Kind of another positive not to get married. If you want to keep on progressing and get to that next level.
I know, that's kind of selfish.
Get that master's, get that master's degree in spiritualism or whatever this is. No, nothing. Just hang on.
No.
I might buy into that philosophy. We'll see.
I hear you, Beckett. Well, I do appreciate everybody asking about animals. I think everybody on the podcast, other than Denny's, loves animals. I'm just kidding, Denny's. It's one of the most popular questions we're asked, by the way.
Denny's, do you have a cat, or is that I've seen before?
Yeah, I got two cats. How lucky am I, right?
He don't have no two cats. His wife's got two cats. Common law cats is what he's got.
Yeah, they just have been adopted into the family. But I've got.
I would say I have more animals than anybody here on the podcast. I'd be willing to bet. I have two rabbits, two cats, a German Shepherd, and we foster cats for Peggy Adams.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody in the chat, raise your hand if you feel like Vicky's bragging right now. Because I do. I kind of feel like she's animal bragging.
She's got BPE, big pet energy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I live in an apartment, Vicky. I just want you to know that I would have more animals if I could fit them.
Okay. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. That's all I gotta say.
I do want to give Mr. Beckett a very big shout out for his suggestion of the horror movie club. Tusk is maybe one of the weirdest movies I have ever seen in my life. It stayed with me for a good 3 days. I've been asking Denny's all kinds of questions. Denny's wife loves the movie Tusk, big fan of it. I consider myself a weird person. That movie weirded me out. What the shit?
That's why they call me Dark Horse. You were taking a lot of stock in my recommendation. I knew it was going to blow your mind.
If anybody listens to the Weird Whatever podcast and you're looking for a different kind of movie, kind of a weird ride, and you haven't seen Tusk, I do recommend it because it's so bizarre. Vicky, I'm so anxious to hear what your thoughts were on this movie.
Well, I am going to get an F because I did not watch it. Now, let me give you, like the kid that turns in their homework late, let me give you the reason why, and I'm not BSing on the reason why. I'm currently involved in several paranormal investigations, so I'm going over audio, and you guys had me weirded out thinking it was going to blow my mind. Well, I'm preparing for a big case coming up, and I did not need my mind blown ahead of time on anything. So, but I promise, even though I'm only going to get half credit, I do promise once I'm through with this upcoming investigation, I will watch it and will submit a full report, double spaced and typed.
I got to tell you, Vicky, being the host of the podcast and, you know, trying to hold people accountable, a little disappointed. I got to tell you. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's
but
like
please
a very...
watch it. Go ahead, Bernie.
Yeah, I was saying it's a very like disturbing movie, right? Because it's like, you would think just dying is worst case scenario, being tortured, but it goes a step further. And I mean, obviously, spoiler, maybe I shouldn't say something because Vicky hasn't seen it.
Yeah, maybe not.
The reveal is pretty good.
Don't spoil it.
Okay.
I'm always kind of torn, even on the KVJ show. Anytime we talk about TV shows or movies, part of my brain is going, if somebody didn't see that, this has got to be probably so boring to hear about. So I always wonder that, and I don't know. Audience, let me know. Do you get annoyed when either the Weird Whatever podcast or the KVJ show talks about something you've never watched? For me, I don't get annoyed with that stuff because if someone's talking about it and it sounds interesting, I actually try, I want to research it, but I know everyone's different. It's something I always wanted to know. Question of the day. What do you guys think? You, the people, let us know. Does it bother you? Love it. Moving the needle here. Okay, Vicky, Tusk. But what is, whose turn is it? Is it my turn? Is it Denny's turn? We have to do, we have to pick.
Yeah, it's one of yours, two's turns.
Denny's, do you want it?
It's up to you. If you want to get it, this
actually,
week,
I think it's Denny's because you chose Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
Yeah.
I did.
Well, yeah. You, I guess, because Denny's wife had never seen it, so you're like, let's watch it. So I guess it's Denny's turn.
I gotta stop drinking, Vicky. All right, go ahead, Denny's.
Yeah, it's cool either way. We could watch. What was the one we were talking about just the other day?
American Werewolf in London.
So I know that that's a super duper classic one. Anyone who hasn't seen that, that is definitely one that should be seen. I mean, I could easily make that my recommendation. I got weird ass ones too. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, just let us know by the end of the podcast. You got plenty of time to think about it, kid. And with that said, I think it might be time for some
Denny's random facts.
Now, if you've never heard the podcast before, Denny's does a great job of finding amazing factoids that's going to blow your mind. Vicky, being our educator, she grades him on each factoid. If it sucks, oh, she's going to grade him harsh. If it's great, she's going to give him an A. Vicky, me and you got called out big time last week because we were too hard on our sweet little Denny's.
I know, I saw that. But I'm going to start this podcast by telling Denny's, I have all the faith in the world that you're going to do much better than last week. See, that's positive reinforcement.
I like
and
it.
And I tell you what, I'm going to tell you what I'm going
to
tell you.
It had a tinge of patronizing to it, yeah. But I get.
Do we lose him? Denny's?
Oh, what about
him? Denny's random
freezing.
Oh, no. Denny's can't freeze dirt because then we'll have to go with Beckett's random facts.
Oh, no.
That was during his bit too.
Gotta tell you, Denny's, that's really messing me up right now. Well, we're about to move on.
I'm back.
He's back.
Yeah. Did you see that? Did you guys see that?
Yeah,
that
we cool. did see. I was about to text you. Like, you're frozen.
Was I frozen in like a weird face where half my eye was open?
Not too weird.
Oh, then fantastic.
I gotta tell you, the people who only listen to this podcast on audio are gonna really love this episode.
Yes.
No. No, they're not. All right, Denny's, you have the floor. Give us some good shit.
So it's always cool how words come to be, but you guys know the term cliche. Everybody knows that term, and it's used often. But the term cliche, a French term, originates from the clicking sound made from when the printing plates were used to create the same text over and over, which is how the term became in use. And in fact, the plates that they used in the process were called stereotypes. So that's the origin of stereotype and cliche.
Wow. I had all the faith he was going to come out of the gate strong. You pulled it off. That's an A.
Ah, that was a good one.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. The people who were defending Denny and emailing, oh, you guys are being all too hard on him. It's only going to make it harder for Denny's.
All right.
Tougher for Denny's. I give it a D. Next one.
Let's see, scientists, this is actually pretty reassuring for us humans for all the destruction we've caused. Scientists discovered that broadcasting the sound of a healthy coral reef underwater through speakers in an area in the Great Barrier Reef where all the coral had died resulted in life returning. In fact, thriving, having twice as many fish the second time around. Because the sound.
I like that one too.
I don't know if you guys know the sound of coral, but if you go underwater, you can hear it. Sounds like Rice Krispies. So I guess the sound pulls the fish back.
Food reference, too.
Oh, baby. When my breakfast talks back to me, I love it.
No, that's an A. And it shows I gave you positive reinforcement, much like that fact, and you are banging it out of the park with two A's.
Oh, the one thing I know about Denny's, my man loves to bang it.
Oh, my God.
What? Excellent. So with that out of the way.
Bang it or bong it.
Oh, it's good, Vicky. Vicky, like are you drinking? Is Vicky drinking some vino?
Yes, and I'm wearing my Not Today Satan shirt.
Oh yes, show everybody.
Ricky,
why not today?
I'm drinking whiskey out of a Dixie cup, so.
And I'm behind you guys.
You guys are fancy.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, come on. Plastic cups, fancy AF. Denny's.
All right. So over 150 bison live off an island right outside of California. Originally, 14 of them were transported to the island in 1924 for a silent film they shot. And then they just left them there. And unchecked, there is now, let's see, there's over 150. If we get 50 more, though, we'll have a bicentennial. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
If you guys want me to mute Denny's, I have the power to do so.
I had to throw that in.
Becky didn't even give you a loud laugh. He gave you like a...
That could be like another grade meter. It's just like the decibel on the laugh.
Like the low meter.
Yeah.
Damn, Denny's, he gave you a fake-ass laugh.
I was riding so high, I had to throw that one in there.
Well, the fact was an A, the joke was a C, so we'll go with a B for the final grade.
I love it. I'll take it.
And nobody doubts that you're not riding high.
Let's see here. So we got punctuation marks that we all know and love from our keyboards, but there was originally going to be another punctuation mark. It was pushed really hard in the 1960s, and it was called the Intero Bang. I don't know if you guys have seen it. But it's a combination of a question mark and an exclamation point laid on top of each other. In fact, I'm going to pull up a quick photo for you guys to see. If you combine the two together, you get the Intero Bang.
I love it.
Unfortunately, it did not succeed. The guy created it in 1962, along with a couple other punctuation marks that we don't have that were trying to be implemented in the system. One called a percontation mark, which is a rhetorical question mark. So if you ask a rhetorical question, it would be denoted. And then also, which one I actually think we do need, an irony mark or sarcastic quotations.
Yes.
All were taken out completely of typewriters in 1970.
Damn. I feel like I come off like such a dick when I chat sometimes in chat rooms, because I'm trying to make a joke or something, or kind of like if me and you are in a conversation and you're ribbing me, Denny's,
yes,
and you're busting my balls, I'm going to rib you back. And if someone ribs me in a chat room, I rib them back, but it sounds like I'm really mad.
Yeah.
And I completely agree. We need something to let people know. I'm just messing around here. I'm not really pissed. I'm joking with you.
Now, I got to say, I don't think we should encourage the stupidity. I think people need to learn to get a sense of humor and know the difference between a rhetorical question, sarcasm, and all those other nuances of the English language. I do like your fact. The one thing I wish they had not gotten rid of it, then you would spend less time going exclamation point, question mark, because I do that all the time. I put four, both, multiple times. I could do it with one key instead of two. So that's
God, nice. I love a wind up, Vicky.
Yeah, me too, evidently.
I love the wind up, Vicky. First of all, Denny's, you should always love a wind up, Vicky. She's giving you grades, like A's left and right.
It's kind of
like being at a comedy club and the first row is hammered.
It's the best. Originally, he came up with the idea for advertisements, examples being like such, Where's the Beef from Wendy's could have one of those Intero Bangs. Weird.
Yeah. I just think we need to figure out a way to text and be sarcastic when you're joking and not come off like a dick. People think you're a jerk and you're not really. You're just trying to have fun.
There was a petition once, sorry, Beckett, to use italicized as a form of sarcasm. Go on.
Well, that's why I stopped even talking in the I stopped even going in the chat rooms, because I would text and I'm thinking I'm joking around with people, and then people get mad and they think I'm mad. So it turns weird. Beckett, you have the floor.
No, I agree. I mean, that's why I think we brought up a couple podcasts ago, the use of emojis really kind of helps. Yeah. Because if it's a winky face with your tongue out, then you know you're just kind of teasing, where that sentence by itself would have been actually maybe seemed a little sharp. Before emojis, people were making their own emojis. If you remember old school emails, we would do like the semicolon, the hyphen, and then a parenthesis, And that's what we did before they actually gave us emojis.
Yeah, emojis.
Yeah.
Yeah. To go back to your emoji, though, I will say, though, some people feel their content a little too much where they write something, they think it's so funny, and it's followed by the smiley face with the tears. And it's like, bitch, wasn't that funny?
Are you making fun of my laugh? Are you making fun of my laugh?
No, not you. I'm saying no, people who they're laughing at their own shit, and their shit's not that funny.
But I feel like if I were to make a joke and we were texting, it would be a bunch of laughy faces afterwards.
It better be good, Becky, because if it's not good, I'm like, bitch, that ain't funny.
Fair enough.
Love it. All right, Dennis, give us one more factoid to make the people listening talk about it at the dinner table. Give them dinner table talk right now.
All right. Well, so I'll go with a little more fluff. And this one's for you, Bird, because I know you like President Lincoln.
Rest in peace.
He was a cat lover. Did you know that?
I did.
He was known for having cats eat off the dinner table while they would have dinner. But one formal White House dinner, he had the cat on the table eating. And his wife turned to him and said, shameful, in front of guests. And he replied, if the gold fork was good enough for former President James Bakkenin, I think it's good enough for our tabby. Weird, right?
Denny's, I'm so glad you brought that up. You did not bring up the fact that so Mary Todd, his wife, used to take the extra helpings when it was done, and she would put them in Mr. Lincoln's beard, and the cats would go up to the beard and just gnaw, just eat all the meat.
So he's learning. Learning
that, my friend.
I'm gonna fact check that.
Mm-hmm. You can fact check that, Bird. You may not find any literature on that. That's because you know,
because it's from birds.
That's just a fun one,
Danny. I thought you did a great job today.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks,
Vicky.
That was a fluff piece. I had a more serious one, but I think it's too heavy to close it out on. You know, I'm going to save it for next week.
I do want to say that people listening on Facebook right now, you guys could do a great service to the Weird Whatever crew here. If you don't mind, if you're listening, all you got to do is just take that finger and hit that share button for us and say, hey, listen to these bunch of knuckleheads or, boy, these weirdos. They're kind of weird. Give them a listen. If you guys don't mind, please share this post. The management's always watching. Am I right, Denny's? They're always watching.
Everybody's always watching.
And it's all about numbers, Beckett. Everyone wants insane numbers about everything. Now, Facebook numbers got to be high. And if they're not high, Twitter numbers got to be high.
It's interesting. A lot of people, I have some friends that are influencers, and a lot of the companies have changed their perspective. It's not necessarily the quantity of listeners. It's the quality of listeners, meaning what's the demographic? Is it a demographic that would actually buy our product? Are they localized to our market? Because if you have an influencer that has 10 million followers, but they're all over the world, mm-hmm. you're trying to sell a local product, you would much prefer the guy that's got 5,000 followers that are all Palm Beach County people. So
that's a great point.
Yeah.
Because we are in that position. I mean, obviously there's COVID going on right now, but if we did a legit Weird and Whatever event and we did a live thing where we invited the people, the weirdos in, I think it would be very successful, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I agree.
And to your point, because it is local, we are accessible. It's not like we're all over. If you want to get a hold of a Beckett, you can get a hold of a Beckett. If you want to talk to Denny's, my God, reach out to him. Talk to him. He's a human.
Yeah, hit me up.
Anybody want to say something? Did I hear a peep?
Yeah, shoot me a DM.
Yeah, slide into Denny's DM and talk to him. My God.
Oh.
I did want to talk about what you texted me, Vicky. You have an update about our ghost appearance on the Travel Network. Can you please let the people know?
Right. Okay. The next update is I did receive an email from the producer. They are finalizing everything and they just wanted to ask a couple more details to make sure they have the facts correct.
So, all right. Yes, it's happening.
Yep, it's just a matter of time.
Yes. To the people sending me Twitter messages, how I'm talking over everybody. Yes, I'm aware of that. I have a major, major delay. I apologize. I am not trying to talk over you guys, but I've got about a 5-second delay. Just a little FYI to let you guys know that. Are you guys getting a delay at all?
No.
Not me.
Oh, you're making it up.
Outrageous. Maybe it's the whiskey burgundy.
Yeah.
There is a delay.
The Dixie cup.
Yeah, I can actually hear a delay even with Denny's talking with you.
The tech friends of mine have a joke when they have someone they can't figure out their computer or figure out something technical. They call it a problem with the user interface.
Oh, I like that. Well, so we're in a weird position, and I promised myself we were not going to talk COVID-19, Corona, any of that bullshit. But just a quick note. I want to get back into one room and us looking at each other. It makes it so much easier. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that, though. I don't know.
I didn't drink your whiskey.
I didn't hear you, Beckett.
I said, and then when we're in person, then I can drink your whiskey.
Absolutely. So our work with where me and Denny's are at, they're kind of tightening up the leash again with us. They do not want us to even get be in any kind of situation where we're near anybody that could have COVID. So I don't know. Personally, I would love to do the podcast in my place. It's really up to y'all. If you guys want to do it, I mean, I know a lot of people are struggling with shit. Do you go over to your friend's house? Do you hook up with her? Do you do that with him? I don't know. I'm just a small town kid from Lake Park. I'm cool with you guys doing it at the podcast here. Only problem, I'm in the middle of moving too, so that might be a problem. Vicky, where are you set with all this bullshit? Would you come and do a podcast here?
Yeah, I'm not overly, Vicky? I mean, when I go out in public with a lot of people, I am a mask wearer. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Did everybody else hear me? Okay. Mm-hmm. Just him. I wear my mask when I go out in public. I still see my friends in small groups and in certain situations. If I have people over to the house, I have what I call porch parties. I have a nice front porch with fans and everything. So we just sit on my porch and I usually drink. And so that, you know, we have the fresh air, we're not confined in my house. And, but I don't, you know, do a lot. I do have been doing investigations. With my mask on, I try not to touch anything as I do my walkthroughs and things like that. I'm trying to be as careful as possible, but I'm not to the point. If you call me next week and you said, hey, I want you to do the show live from my house, I'll be like, okay, what time?
It's really weird because they always teach you, especially when it comes to radio or broadcasting, you always want to be topical. If you're not being topical, you're not doing your job. I personally think sometimes you can be overly topical. I think there's certain things that, you know, people can get anywhere. And man, if we talk too much about COVID or Corona, people get pissed, 18 and older, but people get really, really mad. And it's odd because some people then get mad if you don't talk about it. You know, it's a weird place to be as a broadcaster, and I'm not at all going, woe is me. I'm just being honest. As a broadcaster, I don't know sometimes where to go. My personal instinct always to go with distraction, try to be funny or try to do something goofy. You know, touch upon it slightly, but don't overdo it. Chat room, people who are listening to the program, I'd love to know your perspective on that. Because honestly, you guys are the ones driving the podcast. You guys are the ones driving the KVJ show. Do you guys want to hear us talk about COVID? Do you hate when we do it? Do you like hearing the stats? Do you like hearing people's perspective? My old thing is they teach you a lot of stuff in the radio business, but I don't know if it's the right stuff for the actual consumer. You know what I mean?
Plus, so COVID is different. This is a different COVID time for everybody.
You're right. So I would like honest answers. Another question of the day. This is Bird just being completely honest. Let me know what you think. I would love to know that because it is tough sometimes.
because
ever
you know,
since COVID started, I've eaten twice as many popsicles, and I think I've smoked twice as much weed. It's crazy.
Nobody's surprised. Yeah. Nobody's surprised. Yeah.
I need the quarantine to end.
What have you guys spent? Is there something you've spent more money on in the last 3 months that you normally don't, Vicky?
Takeout food.
Me too, man. I had to stop. I looked at my takeout bill on my bank statement. I was appalled. I just was disgusted, Brittany. What have you spent too much money on in the last 3 or 4 months?
Same delivery. And then also I've been going on Twitch a lot. So that's like a website that I stream from and everything. But I've been like, you can donate money to people and like do bits like and subscribe to them. And I got a big statement back from that. And I was like, oh, I need to cut that down a little.
Gotta reel it in. Becky, yeah. What have you been spending your money on?
Well, nothing fun. Obviously, with my dog, Mash, the bills are insane. And it's one of those situations is like, you can't not do it. And if and when I get another pet, I'm going to have to look into that pet insurance. I never thought it was worth it, but that end of life situation, maybe it is. Other than that, I have a vintage Airstream and I've been spending money on weird things like airplane polish because it's aircraft aluminum. So I had to get the special buffer and the special weird waxing polishing stuff. So those have been some weird, funny expenditures.
To go back to your point on the whole expenses stuff, there was 3 times I had to take Chewy to the emergency hospital because he loves to just fucking fall apart between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. That's really when he loves to just not feel well. Mm. 3 different trips has cost me $12,000. So I completely understand and get the expense thing. And I guarantee you there's a percentage of people listening right now that are obviously they're upset that they had to spend so much money, but they love their pet so much, who can completely relate to that story of you spending money and me spending money. You do it because you love your pet, man. They're your friend, they're your partner. And the longer they're in your life, you have a connection with them. Because I got some hate emails from people saying you're an idiot for spending that kind of money on your dog. You know, $2,000 at an emergency vet when you think your pet's dying, it's a lot of money, but I wouldn't change it. I really wouldn't change it because I love him so much.
And it's different too. It's easy for people to say that when they're a pet or they don't have one and they're not dealing with it. Like, you know, right now I'm like, oh yeah, I wouldn't spend this much money. But there's been so many times I've gone to the vet, like when I've seen my pet suffering and I'm like, okay, like whatever it takes to help them. You know, like when you're in that situation, you're like, you don't think about the money. You just see them crying and suffering. You're like, please, like help them.
I think there's certain things that happen in life where money doesn't matter. Your job doesn't matter. All of a sudden, you know, you're living your life and then you get ejected out of it and you're going to do things. I mean, it's almost kind of like survival of your own emotions in a sense. You're like, I got to do it. I got to pay money to make my pet feel good because it makes me feel good too.
So what I did one time, being a single parent and a school teacher with being zero money, my dog one time on a Saturday had been at his regular vet and the vet closed because it's a half day. There was no reason to definitely keep him there boarded. There was nobody to watch him. He was better off for me to take him home. Well, he seemed to be getting worse, so I took him to an emergency vet. The first bill they came back with was $2,500. I didn't have $2,500. So what I did is I called my regular vet. And I said, listen, I just brought my dog in here. This is what they want to do. And my vet got that bill down. He said, you don't need this, 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 or this. And I got the bill down for like $900 to $900.
That is great advice. That is
because
so awesome.
I couldn't justify, I didn't have the $2,500 and I had a kid in marching band that I hadn't paid their fair share. I couldn't justify getting a $2,500 bill. And I needed to know if my vet had come back and said, your dog needs every single one of these things, I would have gone in debt for the $2,500. But my vet said, this is all that he needs. And it got it down to $900.
That makes me so upset that they would charge, like that people take advantage of you like that, whether it's your car or a vet or a doctor. It's like, really? Like, why would you go into this profession if you wanted to just take advantage
of people? Well, that's kind of how I feel. I mean, I went to a couple different emergency vets for different times. And there was one time where I went into one of them and I was visibly emotional, crying. I did not know what was happening to Chewy. Chewy is the first dog in my life that I've ever fully took care of on my own. And the fact that he's a special needs dog, there's more of an intimate relationship there where it's not like other dogs that I've had where they can just run out in the yard. There's such a bond there. So if you don't, if you are a person like my position where you are a first time dog owner, you love your dog or your pet so much, you don't know what's happening, and you're in a very, very traumatic situation, you're going to pay that shit because you don't know what's happening. And to your point, Birdney, I agree. There was one place that they easily could not have charged me. At least a thousand of the 2,500. I was distraught. I was crying. And they still did that. And looking back, knowing what I know now, they totally purged me of my money and they didn't have to. And, you know, I get it. We live in America. It's a business. But when someone's on their emotional, you know, they're down and out and flat out like that, you would hope someone would say, all right, you don't need that. You don't need that. You're clearly upset and your dog's going to be fine. And they did it. They kind of preyed on the fact of fear, really.
Yeah.
And to add on to my story, they wouldn't let me leave with the dog. They held my dog captive. They said, well, we can't allow you to leave with him. Long story short, let me get to the punchline. My dog was just a little dehydrated and he had already had fluids at the vet earlier that day. And what happened is because he had so much fluid at one time, all of it came out too fast, but he was basically dehydrated. But they held him captive saying I couldn't have even gone to another facility because they said, well, we can't let you leave with your dog. So trust me, that was a Facebook post several years ago. Trust me.
I want to get into this. I thought this is great. Other than animal spirit stuff, do animals go to the next level? We get a lot of children seeing ghost stuff. That's a big email we get. But this is another one because we talk a lot about mental health and wanted to kind of talk about this. So I got about 6 or 7 emails just this week alone about depression and anxiety. And I talk a lot about it on the air because I suffer from both of that. And I think there was a time period where a lot of people were embarrassed to talk about going through depression or having anxiety attacks. And I get that. I was embarrassed growing up as a kid. I've talked about it in the past. I suffered from terrible panic disorder in my teen years, and I was 16 years old, and I was taking an algebra class that was upstairs, the second story, and my anxiety of going up on a second story was so terrible. I was never able to go up there, and I failed my math, but I was too embarrassed to talk to anybody or talk to a guidance counselor or talk to a teacher, and I look back now, and there were people there to help me with that kind of stuff. And my whole purpose of just this segment alone on depression, anxiety, and I'm kind of just paraphrasing a lot of the emails. It's basically moms and dads emailing me saying, my son or daughter is suffering from depression. They're 14. They're suffering from panic attacks. They used to be able to go to the mall. They can't go to the mall anymore. And now they can't go outside to the lake. And I don't know what to do. There's a lot of that going on with a lot of people. And I think the number one thing is to talk about your mental issues. I think, you know, back in the day, people didn't want to talk about it, like I was saying, because they're embarrassed. I know you've talked about your anxiety issues, Birdney. Do you find
talking about it publicly helps you, or does that make you feel more insecure? Because for me, it actually helped me when I thought it would make me feel more insecure.
It helps me because I think that overwhelmingly, like, I have people that go, thank you, I'm also going through this, or it's nice to know that, like, I could, what I was feeling, you know, people can say, oh, I found that you also feel the same way. I think, yeah, it feels good just to get it out loud. So, you know, say it out loud, because when you hold it in, that's when it gets worse.
I think too, a big part of it is you want to be able to speak to somebody that is willing to receive what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna bring depression issues up or anxiety issues up with somebody that's gonna follow it up with, all right, you fucking snowflake, why don't you just pipe down?
Yeah,
I think knowing the audience is a big thing. I guess my whole message is, we live in a time right now where if you do suffer from a mental illness of depression, panic disorder, anything, OCD, there are people who actually want to talk to you. So don't feel alone. And I think that's a big narrative we need to bring out. People want to talk about those kind of things. Beckett, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I mean, when I lived in Argentina for a little bit, and what I found really interesting talking to people there is, like, I met a girl. She told me right away about a conversation with her shrink. And I think I brought this up to you guys. You know, I was so Americanized, if that's the right word. I was like, most people in America would be, check, please. You know, this girl's talking about her therapist on first interaction. But what I learned living there and getting to know her better, you know, going to your therapist, your shrink, was a little bit more like going to get your oil changed or going to get your teeth cleaned. Like, it's a normal thing, where in America, I think we've become less bad about it. We're such a rub some dirt on it culture, and we don't communicate, like, our feelings. And, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but the communication thing I keep bringing up, a lot of things can be alleviated in business and relationships, vet bills, all those things with, like, proper communication. Like, a similar story that I had is, they were trying to talk me into a $2,500 MRI, and I asked them questions, and I was very happy for the most part with all my vets. But I go, is there anything, doctor, that the MRI will tell me that's actionable intelligence, something I'd actually at 14 operate on, put her through anesthesia? And he goes, honestly, no. I was like, okay, thank you. So, you know, do I want to put her through all that? And that was me communicating to him, you know, the need, the benefit analysis on that. So I think that a lot of things when it comes to therapy is communication. You communicate how you feel, if you're depressed. When you have a clinical issue, that's something beyond communication. That's really when the psychologist really comes into, because then now you're talking about maybe some medication and stuff that goes along with the communication.
Because it's such a fine line, I feel like, to where we should communicate our issues, but I also feel like we can over-communicate our issues, if that makes sense too. You can overdo it, and you can underdo it. It really is a balance. Vicky, your point, your thoughts?
Well, I think we generally speaking in the United States have kind of blamed the victim across the board for many things. And one of those things would be disorders like anxiety and depression and things like that. And people who don't suffer from it think that you can control it. So we haven't fully grasped that many of these disorders have a chemical base to them, have a scientific chemical base to them. And people need to realize there's not, and somebody who actually has depression knows the difference between I'm having a chemical depression as opposed to what I call a pity party. Like, yes. I have had plenty of pity parties. I don't happen to suffer from clinical depression. I don't have a chemical imbalance. If I'm depressed, it's because I am having a pity party. But a lot of people aren't able to distinguish between the two. And
Go ahead.
I think everybody, no matter what your problem is, if you communicate it with the right person, there's a danger in communicating it to too many people. Like, say you go to doctor number one and doctor says you have this. Well, you didn't like that answer. Now I'm going to go to doctor number two. Oh, they're going to give me another condition. Okay, now I'm going to doctor three. Now I'm on four, five. And each time you might get something different. You need to find an expert in that area and try to work out whether that is the proper diagnosis before skipping to different ones because you don't like the answer.
So I agree with a lot of what you just said there. And I've been called out before because I have said the statement, and I stand firm on the statement. I feel like every human being on this planet has some form of mental illness. Now, I think there's a spectrum of some people are able to manage anxiety better. I think some people are able to manage depression, but being a human being, it's a weird process. There's no way you can escape being a human being without at some point going through anxiety, some point going through depression, some point going through some kind of mental drawback, because I think that's part of the process. I do think though, there are people that have higher here, lower there. And to your point, Vicky, yeah, I think it's something that we should really look in the mirror on. Is this a pity party? Or is this a legit the blues? And I think sometimes you're just a human and you get the blues and that's okay. And that's what I mean by everybody has some form of a mental illness. And what I mean by a mental illness, I mean, you know, you struggle with your mental state during a certain time.
Let me throw another curveball in there. There are many people walking around who are empaths. They are picking up other people's emotions. So you may be picking up on, you think you're depressed. Well, it's actually your coworker, and you don't realize because you are feeling their emotions. So it's kind of complicated sometimes in figuring out where it's coming from and what the true nature is.
Well, that's a great point, because I am a person that I am my environment. If my environment is happy, my emotions are happy. If the environment is like, some people can fight through that and do their own thing, but I tend to kind of be a chameleon when it comes to that kind of thing. Do you feel that way ever? Do you kind of feel an emotion when it comes to the room?
I have learned to block it because I figured out a while ago that I was an empath and I needed to block it. But if I'm immersed in too negative, like, okay, sometimes we've been at the Weird and Whatever studio and we're having technical difficulties, okay? And sometimes that really frustrates you. That really bothers me because I absorb your frustration. And that's one time that it's hard for me to block, because other empaths have huge ability to affect others. So because I think you have empathic ability, when something happens with you and I'm in your general area, I'm going to have a hard time fighting that off, and I'm going to absorb it. I'm going to feel what you're feeling because you're coming across so strongly because of your ability.
Yeah, I 110% agree with you, because when that happens and you don't get as frustrated as me, I get kind of like, what the shit, Vicky? You should be getting mad at me. You should be getting mad too. So yeah, I agree with you.
And I try not to show it, but internally it makes me an absolute nervous wreck. So I try to counterbalance it by super calm. But inside, I'm panicking.
But can you do me a favor though? Can you please elaborate a little bit? Because you're kind of making it sound like I'm backhanding Denny's. I'm fucking throwing computers. I'm kicking Chewy. I get a little frustrated.
You get a little frustrated. You're like, I can't believe this isn't working right. We get on the air. I mean, he's only flown across the room like maybe 3 times in 3 years.
I've only backhanded Denny. Yes, and just so you know, that passion probably is not going to change, Vicky. Well, we've been going almost an hour. I know we've talked a lot about our feelings today. I think that's good. Yes. I think it's a good thing, Beckett. I do want to make sure that you're doing okay, Beckett, because, you know, I know that Chewy only has so much time left, and it's something I think about a lot, and I appreciate you, you know, talking about your dog. I know it's been a rough week for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I can only return the favor for everyone that's been there for me. I appreciate the kind words, and I hope she's in a better place.
And Ryan, right. I do know somebody who makes those memory pillows. So okay. If there's any kind of that is special, a blanket or something like that, give it to me. And it is my treat and my honor to have it made for you.
Thank you, Vicky. I appreciate that.
All right, let's get a little weird here.
All right.
Becky, you want to get weird?
Sure.
Oh, you know what? You know what? Let's pause the weird for a second. I did want to do a new segment today where Birdney does our horoscopes. She's really into horoscopes. And I know we get people always emailing, talking about the stars, and they really believe. They put out their entire life and base it on the stars. So I'm not that passionate about it.
Yeah, let me preface first. Like, I am, you know, very sciencey and stuff, but I think when it comes to charts, which is like when you were born, like the time you were born, the year, where, like, that I have found that when people do charts, like, you know, obviously you could say something and people can take it and apply it to anything, but I do have found a weird coincidence throughout my life when it comes to chart readings. So I will preface before going into that, but I'll read our horoscopes and then I can go a little bit into what I discovered about each of us.
So just so everybody knows, Birdney's done the research. She's got all of our information. She's going to read our horoscopes of what's going on based on today. So let us know if this works for you.
Yeah. So this is just like a basic nat chart horoscope, but so the audience knows I am a Pisces. Denny's is a Scorpio. Vicky and Beckett are both Leos, and Bird is a Taurus. So
yeah, Taurus! Taurus strong! Only motherfucking Taurus here!
Yes. So our horoscope, so we'll start with the Leos, because it is almost Leo month. Their birthdays are coming up. It says, although you want to introduce reforms and improvements to your health and your job, for some reason today you are being blocked by someone or something. Don't get your belly in a rash. Do not feel you have to have it your way. Go gently.
Who's the Leos on the panel?
We have Beckett and Vicky.
All right. Now, do you guys agree with that horse shit, or do you think it's legit?
Is there...
Vicky, any truth to this?
Yeah, sometimes bull in a china shop kind of thing, you know, and I need to back off and go in more slowly. Yeah, I resemble that remark. Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you believe in the stars, Vicky?
I believe in your personality being shaped by your zodiac sign and your rising sign. I'm not into daily horror scopes.
Yeah.
I don't believe in those necessarily. Because they're too general. It's a daily thing that's too general. But in basic zodiac sign description, 100%. That's one reason why when I give a reading, I do not ask someone what their birthday is or what their zodiac sign is, because any person who reads and asks you that first already has a 50% view of what your personality is probably like.
Yeah.
I always feel like those horoscopes that are those daily horoscopes in the paper, I always feel like an intern forgot to turn in their assignment and they're the ones in charge of writing the horoscope. And it's like 5 a.m. like, we need the horoscopes now. And he's just like, or she's just writing it and making
just
shit
like
up.
Random stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're just doing a Mad Lib horoscope.
Well, can I give you an example that I was talking with Vicky about before the show? That's kind of like funny. And I'll see if we could all connect the dots. So
the floor's yours, Birdney.
So I did Beckett's chart. So if there's four signs, right? There's water, air, fire, and earth. If you were to think of something settling, what element do you think of? Like something settling.
Crust.
But earth, right?
No, crust is in pizza.
Oh, pizza crust. Okay, so yeah.
Settling.
Yeah, so out of those four elements, like something settled, like not moving, traditional, guess what? Beckett has no earth in his chart whatsoever.
What? Earthless dog? Damn, Beckett's earthless, y'all.
He can't settle.
I'm a pretty earthy guy.
But in terms of like the earth, when you think of elemental stuff, it's you have no earth in your chart. And I was telling Vicky, I'm like, this is not surprising whatsoever. Like,
yeah, but would you settle if you had hair like that? Hell no.
I just...
Does that mean that I'm kind of an extraterrestrial, maybe?
No, that means if someone came in and they were balancing your energies out, they would have to give you some earth because you have the other elements, but you're lacking earth. So any kind of healing from a spiritual healer, they're going to have to give you some more earth because you ain't got none.
Interesting.
Damn, maybe, dog. Maybe
I need some dirt of the day.
No. I would not go there. Don't take it too literal.
Back it. I think you probably need more ayahuasca.
That's right, probably.
Hey, by the way, not to interrupt Birdie, really quick, in 10 seconds or less, a lot of people are wondering, when you did your ayahuasca thing, you said it was spiritual and you learned stuff. That was a while ago. Do any of those lessons, are they still prevalent right now in your life, or did it kind of go away 10 seconds or less?
Definitely still prevalent. If anything, sometimes it smacks me across the head because I've become less conscious of it and something happens and I was like, oh yeah, I was supposed to do that. I was reminded of that. My fault.
That was 13 seconds, Beckett. All right, Bertie, go ahead.
All right, so I'll continue with the horoscope reading, correct?
Yes. Keep going. You're nailing it.
All right, let's go with Bird, Taurus. Avoid dangerous places with high crime rates because today it's easy to attract negative and violent attention. Keep your head down and your powder dry. Definitely avoid arguments with others, especially about race, politics, and religion.
That's right, Denny's, you bitch.
So don't go on Facebook, Bird.
Don't go on Facebook. You're right.
Don't go on Facebook today.
I need to stay off social media, period. But I will say, we have an email addressing my behavior on social media that we'll get to at the end of the podcast.
Relevant.
I like it, Birdie. Very good. Very good.
All right. And then we'll go to us, Denny's and I, our water signs. Denny's is a Scorpio. It says, no matter how much you want to usher in sweeping and fundamental changes, you don't have enough power to do so. This might frustrate you today. Nevertheless, this is a poor time to go it alone. Look for those who think like you and work with them. So work with Bird today.
No, look at that.
And don't you argue with politics.
And then for me, it just says, this is a classic day for lovers' quarrels because of different values, wants, and needs. People tend to be stuck in their ways today. Likewise, you might have difficulty dealing with your kids, hissy fits and meltdowns. Be understanding and loving. I don't have either of those, so I think I'm good.
Birdie, people are constantly asking about your romantic situation. I don't know. I feel like you've caught the eye of several weirdos.
Oh, that's so. Can they deal with me? I'm a little weird.
I think they might want to take a stab at it.
No literal stabbing.
Get your mind out of the gutter, Birdie. That was an innocent comment.
I was taking more of a violent approach, but yeah, that one either.
Well, Beckett had the perverted laugh. So.
100%.
Great job, Birdie. I think I want to do a regular feature on that I'll forget about doing next week, but I loved it.
Okay.
Thought it was great. Well, guys, I want to say thank you guys for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. I, the bottom of my heart, I do thank the people that do email about talking about their depression and anxiety. I know that's not easy to talk about, but thank you. I'm not trying to be a pandering ass. It is difficult to talk about. Thank you for the weirdos that are supporting the podcast. We really do appreciate that. Does anybody on the panel have anything to plug or say? Final thoughts to the people? Denny's, yes.
So do you want to do American Werewolf in London for this movie?
Let's do it. I love it. American Werewolf in London will be the horror movie we do this weekend. You want to do Friday or Saturday, Denny's?
Saturday, same time.
Saturday at 8 p.m.?
Yeah, 8's fine.
7 p.m.?
Well, no, we always say 7:30 and then we end up doing like 8:16.
That means 8.
So.
Well, that's because you started so getting dabs. All right, it's fine. Okay, guys, thank you for listening to the We Were Never podcast. Dennis, you're on a delay. It's really messing everything up. We love you all and
Bigfoot is real.